Have your Bible and go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, if we're going to be at, and just with everything going on, I mean, I didn't even plan it this way, but I'm going through characters, and the title here is Uncertainty, and man, if you've ever lived life very long, you know that we live a life of uncertainty. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The theme here is what to do in the midst of uncertainty. Ben Franklin said it best. In this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. And what he was saying is, there's nothing certain. I mean, this life, we live in a midst of uncertainty. There's nothing in this world that is really certain. Your life is not certain. Your job is not. Your car is not. Your health. Your relationship. Your plans. I mean, you know, have you ever made plans and it not went the way they're supposed to? I mean, it happens all the time. Me and my dad were talking about it. You know, like we make plans, they're not certain. I remember one of the times in my life, and I remember I graduated college. You know, I didn't have anywhere to go, didn't have a job, didn't have any offers. And one of the biggest things was I wasn't married at the time. And if you know, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but if you're not married, you're probably not going to get hired as a pastor or even a youth pastor. And I was kind of, you know, it was fun. I worked hard. I was a pretty diligent student. Graduated. I accomplished that. And that's another thing, too, I've learned is when you work really hard for something for a long time, Brother Mark, once you attain it, then it's kind of like, now what? Like, what do I do with my life now? Because I give myself to being a student for 4 years there. And what do I do? And I was in a midst of uncertainty. And truthfully, I remember that night as I was eating supper, celebrating, graduating, I was kind of just like bummed out because what am I going to do now? I didn't have anywhere to go. Well, thankfully, my mentor and he hired me, so made up a job for me, basically, and it developed into 6 or 7 years, so thankfully. But I remember being uncertain, and it's not a good feeling to be, and even now as a pastor, I see many of you, so many things are uncertain in your own life, and we live in that type of world. Many times we try to ignore this, and most of us, we try to make everything in our life so certain. We try to make sure everything goes according to plan, and a lot of times we get really upset and really defeated when it doesn't go that way. You know, and as Christians, we should know better. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I'm not saying we can't do this, but I've always wondered how far should we take this. I mean, have you always said, well, tomorrow I'm doing this? Well, the Bible says not to do that. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Brother Mark, I don't know what the balance is at. But obviously, we have to plan for the future because the Bible tells us that. Proverbs says, be like the ant who is wise, who looks in the future. But there is an idea that we need to make sure that we don't get our plans set in stone because we don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow, things can change. I mean, dramatically change in your life forever. So life is uncertain. Although, In life, there does seem to be seasons of uncertainty. I mean, there's times when, you know, maybe you lose a job. I remember my mom got laid off one time. That was a season of uncertainty. You get bad news. Someone dies. You start even a new stage of life. You change location. They are times that uncertainty is more visible than other time. There's sometimes in your life when, although life is always uncertain, there are times where uncertainty seems to be a little more evident in your life. I mean, it's hard to go to bed at night because life is so uncertain. And when you wake up, you don't really want to wake up because life is so uncertain. So here's what we need to ask. What are we to do? Well, I want to look here at Gideon. Gideon lived in a world of uncertainty. And let's read chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1 through 6, and we're going to refer to some more. And this sets up the context here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianite, the children of Israel made them the dens went on in the mountain and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianite came up with the Amalekite and children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza. And left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tent, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship together and talk to each other and to worship you in songs, Lord, and in the study of your word. I want to ask you for the next few minutes as we sit here, man, as almost every person in this room can identify with the life of uncertainty. You know, sometimes, Lord, they can connect with that, Lord. So I ask you, if we sit here today, they sit here and I stand up here, if we think about how uncertain life is, help us, Lord, to know what to do. Help us to learn today to apply what Gideon did in his life to our life. In Christ's name, amen. Here's the situation. Israel has rebelled against God once again. And as God had promised, he told them, he told Joshua, he told Moses, and they knew this, and if you'll follow me, I will be your God, and I will take care of you. But if you don't follow me, then there will be consequences. And that's what happened. They've rebelled, and now another nation is ruling over them. The oppression came from the Midianites. Now, I read the verses, hopefully you read it as well, but think about this for a minute, and that they're so conflicted by the Midianites. By the way, the Midianites were a nomadic tribe. They came around and moved. They're so oppressing them that they can't even live in their own homes. They're living in the mountain. They're living in caves. Think about how uncertain that would be. Think about that. Not only that, is that when they went out, they would plant their fields, the Midianites would come up with an Amalekite, and they would destroy all the food. They would take it all. They would steal it, and then what they didn't steal, they would destroy. In verse 6, it says this, that they were greatly impoverished. If that doesn't paint a picture of uncertainty, I don't know what does. Think about this. Each day they woke up probably wondering, and there'll be enough food for tomorrow. And not only that, I'm not going to read the verse, but if you look at Judges 8:19, you'll see that Gideon lost his brother to deal with some type of violence. We don't know why, but it must have been during these raids, when they're being attacked, they lost family members. So uncertainty. They probably wondered when are they going to come again? Are they going to kill any of my family? Are we going to have enough left over to survive? They live in a world of uncertainty. They were uncertain where their next meal would come from. They were uncertain when they get to go home. They were uncertain who would be killed. They were uncertain even of this, when God would deliver them. Uncertainty. That's what you see. Gideon here sometimes gets a bad rap. And we'll see here in our first point that he doesn't shine too bright for God. Yet Gideon does some pretty amazing things for God, doesn't he? Think about it. Think about what he did. So he did something right. We can learn from Gideon. Gideon's whole The whole thing here is uncertainty. So I want to look this morning at Gideon and see what to do in a season of uncertainty. This is nothing that you've never heard, but very practical. In a season of uncertainty, number one, don't give up on God. My wife's soul went along right with that. I can't quit. It is a battlefield. And so many times, we are tempted to quit. In verse 11, we'll be introduced to Gideon. and he introduced as a mighty man of valor. Now, let's look at verse 11. It says, there came an angel of the Lord and set under an oak that pertained to Joash, the Ammonite, right, and his son Gibeon. Gibeon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. But here's the thing. We're going to see real quick that Gideon doesn't feel that way. Number one, Gideon really was really wanting to kind of give up on God. Let's look here at Gideon's actions. Verse 11, it paints the picture that Gideon is harvesting wheat. And says he's threshing wheat in a wine press. That indicates the seriousness of the situation. First of all, he's using a wine press. They're not making wine, they're not making anything like that. He's doing this by hand. Normally, when you thresh wheat, you would have animals walk across the wheat and break it off. He's doing it by hand. When John MacArthur said this, indicate that this was not a large amount of grain. These are times are tough. Times are uncertain. We see that Gideon is hiding. Once again, we see that Gideon is fearful. And he's scared. He's literally hiding from them. He's hiding behind a winepress, hiding behind a tree. He's trying to beat out just a little wheat to have some food. And I'm not sure about you, but when I'm fearful, I'm uncertain of what's going to happen. There's no stability there. I mean, that's what he's doing. And it's been like this for 7 years. I want you to think about that. 7 years. That's how he's lived his life. And we'll see here in the next thing here, and Gideon's attitude is that, to be honest with you, you see it. Because here's the thing. Let's look here at verse 12 and 13. I've read verse 12, but let's read verse 13. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord was with us, why then is all this befallen us? I won't be all these miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. I want to look here, not only at Gideon's action, but Gideon's attitude. I want you to understand that Gideon doubted two things. He doubted God's promise. I've already read the verse, but we see in verse 12 that God appears to Gideon and he calls him a mighty man of valor. Now, I'll be honest with you. If God came down to talk to me and he called me a mighty man of valor, I think I would like that. You know? I don't see God saying that about me. I would be excited, wouldn't you? I'd be like, yeah! I mean, of all people, when God called you a mighty man of valor, my hand wouldn't fit through that door. That's how big it would be. You think Gideon would be charged up? You think Gideon would be like, yeah, that's me! That's not what he's not excited at all. Look at his, I've read the verse, but verse 13, I'm going to read it again. I kind of got ahead of myself. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is this befalling us? And where be all his miracles when our father told us? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has, what did he say? Has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midian. Gideon knew the promise that God had made. But doesn't it look like that Gideon really believes that promise, does it? I mean, Miss Jean, he literally said, you've forsaken us. You've forsaken us. What did he do? He doubted. He had in some way given up on God. But he didn't stop there. I mean, Gideon and he still didn't change for a while. Look at chapter verse 14. We see he doubted God's promise, but he also doubts God's plan. In verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have not I sent thee? Here's Gideon's response. Verse 15. He said to him, oh my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Well, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He made excuses. He said, how can I save Israel? He said, I'm poor. You know, I'm the lead of my father's house. Gideon is making excuse after excuse when God tells him his plan. You know why? Because Gideon doubt God. In some way, now when you look at this, in some way, Gideon, to some degree, had given up on God. Now, it gets better, and I'm not hating on him. I'm not hating on him. Because for 7 years, Gideon has had to deal with tragedy, turmoil, fear, and most of all, uncertainty. So I'm not really trying to bring Gideon down right now, but it's true. Gideon here, to some degree, I mean, when caught Gideon at a low point in his life, and during the lowest point, it appeared that Gideon had given up on God. Uncertainty will do that. Uncertainty can sometimes be the worst thorn in the flesh there is. Uncertainty. I mean, no. We've said it before. I've said it all the time. You know, sometimes the worst thing is not knowing, right? I don't care how bad the situation is. I just want to know. That's how we are. Uncertainty. I mean, to me, uncertainty is one of the worst nightmares there is in life. It can bring us down faster than anything else. And that's what's happening with him. Uncertainty today, I want you to know, is all around us. Which is why we worry so much. Because we know everything uncertain. We know we're not guaranteed anything. Except death and taxes, as Ben Franklin said. So we sit around, we worry. And we sit around, and sometimes what happens, as life is uncertain, and you know, so you may say, well, 1 year is enough. And 2 years, maybe it goes on 7 years like Gideon did. What happens sometimes if we start doubting God, and what sometimes happens if we give up on God. Yeah, we might still come to church, but we're sour. We don't do anything for God. You know, we still do what we have to, but here's the thing, we don't need to give up on God. I want to encourage you, do not give up on God. Be like the 10 spies. Don't be like the 10 spies. Remember when they came back? Oh, you know, what is it? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Little, I should do that song, shouldn't I? But I can't. Because I can't sing, and I don't know the words, so. But they came back, and they saw, it's so, the giant was so big, and they're so strong, and got all these weapons. What did they do? They gave up on God. Somewhere along the line, they forgot that God had promised to take care of them. Oh, we can't do it. But the 2 did. The 2 said, you know what? God's going to take care of this. What they were saying was, we're not going to give up on God and his promises. Sometimes we don't reap the blessing even in a storm because we don't stay faithful to God. In times of uncertainty, you will be tempted to give up on God. On everything. You may think it's all in vain, but it's not. 1 Corinthians 15:58 should be our life verse if you're in a time of uncertainty. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Now, this is not rocket science today. I'm not going to give you a magical formula. By the way, the Bible is very practical. And it's answered. Number one, don't give up on God. Right now, if you're in uncertainty, and it may just start today, it may start a week from now, you may be in a season of uncertainty for 2 years. Don't give up on God. And that's the thing, Gideon didn't. He tried to, but he didn't. In a season of uncertainty, don't give up on God. But secondly, seek clarity from God. Now, by the way, in that clarity, you could put strength, or reassurance. I'll be honest, we don't see Gideon shining too bright in the first scene. But it gets better. Gideon does something that we all need to do, and that is seek clarity from God. Here's why. In times of uncertainty, we sometimes get confused. We get off track. Now, confusion doesn't come from God. God is not an author of confusion, okay? So that's the first thing. But what we do, let's be honest, but nevertheless, we become confused, sometimes we become conflicted, and we become unsure, and we don't know what to do, and sometimes what we turn to, and when we're uncertain, is we turn to what we think we should do. We do sometimes what we feel we should do. And by the way, you'll never see, somebody put up on Facebook today, a pastor, you'll never see in the Bible, do what you feel. Do what you think. You're not going to see that. And what happens is when we do that, oh man, we mess things up. What we need to do when we get to fear in the midst of uncertainty is we need to seek God for clarity. Now, Gideon sometimes gets criticized for not having faith. But I see a man whose faith is not probably what it needs to be, yet he doesn't let weak faith stop him. Instead, he does what all of us need to do. He seeks God for clarity and strength from God. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Gideon is really not a poster child for how you should respond to God. Right? I mean, what, you haven't been to God? I mean, he literally told God that he forsaked him. That's a pretty strong statement. And he pretty much told God he couldn't do what God told him he could do. But here's what good though. And Gideon seeks God. A letter A here is for clarity. He seeks clarity. On letter A, the person of God. The person of God. Look at verse 17. And we'll see here, and it said, and he said to him, if I have now, Gideon talking, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And what that means is he won't know, who am I talking to? Okay? And if we read this, show me a sign that it is you who speaks to me. Okay, so he doesn't know who he's talking to. Not really, not yet. And he's wanting to find out. And he is uncertain of who he is. Look at verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Gideon is not sure who this is. But what do you do? He seeks God for clarity. In verse 17, he said, I want a sign. He said, show me a sign that I know who I'm talking to. He seeks clarity from God when he was uncertain. And that's not really the one I want to look at the most. Letter B is the one I want to look at the most. It's the plan of God. He seeks clarity. This is the children's story right here. This is the story we always tell our kids. And it's a great story. I like it myself. And Gideon has a proposal here. Look at chapter 6, verse 36. And we know that he's told Gideon, he said, the plan for you, Gideon, is to be a mighty man of valor, and I want you to go out, and I want you to lead Israel to victory. Okay, so let's look here at verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, there it is, there's the plan. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if it do, be on a fleece only, and if it dry upon all the earth, so that I will know that thou shalt save Israel by my hand. Then look at verse 38. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece, and a bowl full of water. So here it is. So the first thing is that here's my proposal. I'm going to put a fleece out. I want to be dry on the ground. I want the fleece to be wet. Okay, so that happened. And then he says again, listen to verse 39. He said, and Gideon said to him, let not thy anger be hot against me. And I will speak, but this one, let me prove, I pray thee, but this one with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And so God did that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only. And there was dew on all the ground. Gideon get the black eye for this. I mean, people say, oh, Gideon should have had faith. Gideon shouldn't have asked twice. I mean, come on, Gideon. And maybe so. I don't know. But what's more sad than that is a lot of times us as Christians, we know what we're supposed to do. We know what God's plan is. Yet when we get in a time of uncertainty, we just give up on God. We just give up on God. When you walk the other way. And, you know, Gideon, he's struggling. To say the least. He's struggling. I would be too. Now, here's the difference. Gideon didn't walk out the doors and go into the world. Gideon comes to the altar. He prays. He gets with God alone. He talks with God. He said, hey, God, I mean, I know this ain't the best thing to do, but I'm going. What he did was he sought clarity from God. When Gideon was uncertain about God's plan, he didn't give up. He sought clarity from God. When we are in a season of uncertainty, seek God. So many times, it's natural, and sometimes, especially if you get defeated in a time of uncertainty, it's easy just to quit on God. But it's easy to get defeated, and easy to say, I don't know what to do. Here's what to do. You get in the Word of God. You get on your knees. You pray. And keep going to God. Say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm weak. Tell Him. Talk to Him. That is what we need to do. When we get confused, when the wind knocks us off our feet, don't give up on God. Instead, draw to God for clarity, strength, power, directions, so on and so on. Now, I can only speak for myself. When I can't myself, sometimes even a small thing, getting worried about it. Anybody worry about anything? Anybody ever get stressed? I can't speak for you. But I can't myself so many times not praying about it. When I don't know what to do, I'll sit back and forth. What do I do? My friends tell me I overanalyze everything anyway. And I probably do in my mind. I do. I'm a thinker. I overthink things. But you know what I'm not doing sometimes? I'm not seeking God. And think about every time we were stressed, or every time we were worried, or every time we were uncertain, and we would stop and just talk to God about it. Not for 2 hours, just 2 minutes. I wonder how much of a difference that would make. I mean, God is powerful, and God does sustain us, but we have to go to Him. We have to seek God. Oh, what a burden we bear, because we won't seek God in a season of uncertainty. How sad. How sad. And I can only speak for myself. You might be doing that, and you are. I'm glad you are. And if you are, encourage others to do it. But we need to seek God. And that's what Gideon did. I mean, Gideon, he don't have a clue what he's doing. He don't really want to do it, but he does. And he said, okay. And didn't run from God. He drew closer to Him. In a season of uncertainty, number one, don't give up on God. Number two, seek God for clarity. And in third, it's really gonna be something you've never heard before. Number three, be obedient to God. I'm just kidding. Very practical. But here it is. Be obedient to God. And like I said, there's nothing special here, that you've never heard. And it's very practical. Okay? Nothing mystical. You know, it's very practical. And that's it. Be obedient to God. Once again, when you say, oh, we want to about getting the attitude, when you say, oh, we want to about how Gideon responded to God, we can give Gideon a black eye for not trusting God on the first try, which we don't either, so I don't know why we do that. But one thing Gideon did do, he was obedient. He was obedient. And yet, what I see sometimes, and we're all guilty, is we get in a time of uncertainty, we get in a trial, and we see people just quit walking with God, quit being obedient. Gideon may have doubted. Gideon didn't necessarily have the best attitude. He was a little reluctant. But one thing that made all the difference in the world was he was obedient. First thing is that, letter A here, and he was obedient to God's command. Now, if you go back to verse 25 in chapter 6, and it says this, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, now he already told him he's going to be a mighty man of valor, when he said, take thy father's young bullock, even the second young bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altars of Baal and the father which have cut down the grove fighting it. So basically, go and tear down the idols, which is why you're in this mess to begin with. So what did he do? Look at verse 27. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said. And said to him, and so it was because he feared his father. So once again, he's still in a season of uncertainty. He's still not sure about all this. And father's household and the men of the city, that they could not do it by day, but did it by night. Here's the thing. Gideon still is uncertain. I mean, he's scared, Brother Mike. I mean, he's scared of his father's household. I mean, he's literally scared that he does it by night. But God said, here's the command. I'm commanding you to go and tear down these altars. I mean, he probably was scared. We know he was scared. He's uncertain. And all, I mean, probably think, man, I wish I, if it was anyone else, if it wasn't my father, I could do this. Have you ever seen anything like that? You know, if it wasn't so, if it was a different day of the week, if it was this or that, or, you know, if it was a different sin, I could conquer this. And he had all the excuses, but we know what he did. He obeyed God. He did it. He obeyed when he was in a season of uncertainty. You hear the thing? And you being in a season of uncertainty doesn't give you an excuse to give up on God. You being in a season of uncertainty doesn't give you an excuse to be disobedient to God. Gideon was it. Gideon was obedient. But not as in God's command, but also, let it be here, God's calling. All right, so now we get back to God has called him to deliver the people. I mean, chapter, and I'll go ahead and read the victory. Chapter 8, verse 22, they said, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us. Why did they say that? Because he had delivered the people. We know the story. They go down, they have the light, they shout to the Lord, and they run them all out of town, they defeat them, they have a great victory. He is done. He has obeyed God's calling. They're free. He did just that. But I want you to stay with me though. Go to chapter 7. Verse 10 and 11. I want to look at this. So we kind of, I think we miss it sometimes. Chapter 7, verse 10. God said, but if thou fear to go down, right for the great battle, right for they are fit in a battle, go down with, I'm not trying to pronounce your name, you can't learn, thou servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. Afterwards shall thy hand be strengthened to go down into the host. And now hear this, then went he down. So what was it? What was the condition? Can you get verse 10? If thou fear to go down, go thou with. You see, basically God said, Gideon, if you're still scared, go down to the enemy. And I'm basically going to let you hear somebody talk about a dream that's going to strengthen you. You know what that tells me, Brother Mike? He went down. Why did he go down? And he was still scared. He was still uncertain. He still didn't know how it was going to work. But what did he do? He was obedient. In the midst of uncertainty. He didn't let himself off the hook. He didn't say, well, I would have been obedient, but it was just too scary. Well, I just didn't know what to do. Well, figure out what to do. He was obedient. He was obedient. In a season of uncertainty. Here's the thing. It is it. When you are in a season, when you are in the midst of uncertainty, obey God. Now, it may not be to go, it may not, your calling and your command today is not going to be to probably go conquer an enemy in a foreign land. We've all been called by God. We've all been commanded by God. And I don't have to give you all the command and calling, but we know we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. That never stops. It never stops. But in conclusion here, I want to remind you that season of uncertainty is real. When you go through one, remember these three things. Number one, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. And I know who I'm talking to. I know most of you haven't given up on God. That's why you're here today. And many of you are very faithful. You know, one thing about COVID, it did do one thing. It weeded a lot of people out. Most of you have been here and stay in and come every Sunday. I mean, that core group on Sunday morning, the same core group all the other times. I know you're faithful, but I want to remember, I want to remind you, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Number two, seek God for clarity, for strength. I mean, it's so easy. I see this in my own life. It's so easy to put off reading your Bible, to talk, basically talking to God, praying. It's so easy not to do that, but we need to. Have you ever caught yourself in the middle of something that's going on and you get too busy for God? Don't do that. And that's where the spiritual part is at. That if you want something mystical, it's in the prayer. I mean, think about how can walking with God make your life better? It don't make sense, does it, Brother Mike? Not really. But that's how powerful God is. And we walk with Him, it gives us that peace. If you want that peace, you got to walk with God. Don't draw away from that. At least in my life, when I keep myself getting in uncertainty or stressed out or busy, I end up catching that I'm not really walking with God like I need to. And I'm not talking about, I'm not saying you gotta sit and pray all night until more than you can. Sometimes it's just a small, simple thing. We need to seek God. And then thirdly, obey God. There's never a time in your life when it's okay not to obey God. And I know this group, I know you're not. I mean, but I want to remind you, obey God. And stand on your feet with the heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm trying to get you out on time today. As the piano players come on and play, we're going to have just a verse of invitation to close. Truthfully, no matter what you're going through, there's going to be an uncertainty in your life. Because that's life. Life is uncertain. Life is just but a vapor. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, your life can change dramatically tomorrow, tonight. What do we do? What are these three things? We don't need to give up on God. We need to seek God, and we need to obey God. And she begins to play, and they begin to play, and God's spoken to you. Hey, maybe it's just a reminder. I mean, like, I think most of you are like, I think we're all kind of the same boat. Most of us haven't given up on God, but in our minds sometimes we doubt God. At least I know I could do better when it comes to walk with Him. And that's part of my problem sometimes. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that today.